This is a Voice It podcast. I'm KLG, and each episode I'll bring to you different stories from business people across the UK on It's Your Business. Everyone has a story to tell. Why not voice it? Voiceitpr.com.
Hello and welcome to It's Your Business with me, KLG. And today in the studio, I have Serena Smith. Now, Serena has quite an interesting story. Still a very young woman at 35. She's currently got two businesses on the go, which is incredible in itself, but had her own business at 23 as well. So she can help all of you guys, any pitfalls. Her story is really interesting. I think you'll really enjoy it. So, Serena, first of all, just tell us what your two current businesses are, and then we'll jump back.
So, currently, I run a small mortgage brokerage called Mortgages with Serena. And alongside that, I also do sports massage. Within that, there's sports massage, deep tissue, pregnancy, a variety of different things. And I'm actually studying for my level 4 qualification. But yeah, together, they run pretty smoothly. I've got the experience, like you say, of running businesses. They work really well together.
No one would really put mortgages and massage, the two M's, together. But like you said, you can split up your week, which I guess is really exciting and varied, because normally you would be doing the same old 9 to 5, 5 days a week, maybe longer. You can really split up your week and make it interesting. How does that feel for you?
I really enjoy it. I'll be absolutely honest. When I've got a really stressful case on my desk when it comes to mortgages, for example, it's really nice to know that within the next hour or so, I might have one of my really lovely massage clients who will talk about completely different things, and it will take my mind away from that. And also then give me a fresh set of eyes on the case because I've taken myself away from it. Also, with regards to the massage side of things, I really enjoy the conversations that we have. There's kind of no holds barred. It's literally these four walls, they have so many secrets. There's been tears, there's been laughter. But over the years that I've been doing this, I've found that I don't know what my X factor is personally, but there's something about me that my clients really enjoy and makes them feel at ease in both businesses, essentially, mortgages and massage. I literally don't judge. And I think that could possibly be it. For some reason, people do turn around to me and say, there's nothing that compares. There's just a real holistic feel for both sides. You just let us come and be ourselves.
I can see actually now that there is a parallel between the two, and it's never twigged before. I think the confidentiality of both is huge. Like you said, mortgages and massage, you know you're in a safe space with you. You're giving out confidential information in both, and you're there to soak it all up and give your clients the best possible experience, which is amazing.
When you're hands-on and someone's in a vulnerable state, as they are quite often, just down to their underwear, they feel a lot safer in the environment that they're talking. So words do seem to flow.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to jump back because at the tender age of 23, you started your first ever business. Now, that came off the back of the credit crunch. And your current two businesses have been started mid-pandemic. What is it about you that likes to start in a crisis?
Yes, it could never be said that I don't like a challenge. I think I just didn't pay any attention to it. Ultimately, when I started my first business, I was doing something that I really enjoyed, and I thought other people might enjoy, so why the hell not? I was already taking classes myself. That was how I came to become an instructor. I was one of the first classes in the area to start. Not the first, but one of the first. And my attitude towards it was just, let's have some fun. It doesn't matter if you've not got money. We're not going to charge the earth, but let's have some fun. I became a personal trainer, taught flexibility classes. It kind of just evolved from pole fitness classes, and it went initially from teaching in a studio at a local gym to me having my own studio to taking on the next studio. It really did evolve at speed, something that I wasn't expecting, and it really grew. But I think that's because I'm so determined to give the best of me always. So even to this day, even though I closed down in 2016, I still hold more qualifications than anybody combined locally. I don't know about anybody else, but when I do something, It's not just about me saying I'm good at it. I want certificates. I want awards. I want those accolades for me to go. I think it's because I need that as well, personally. But there's someone else to fall back on. There's my insurance who says, well, actually, Serena's got this. And yeah, I enjoy learning. I am a bit of a sponge.
I think it shows a lot in a lot of entrepreneurs that I've spoken to that they are all personally developing, whether that's in a free way, watching videos on YouTube or whatever, or reading books. They're constantly personal developing. I know myself, I've spent a while constantly getting certificates. I'm certificate daft. If someone says to me, you'll have a certificate for walking up the road, I'm over the moon. I've got another certificate. And I just think
it, girl after my own heart.
I think it's sometimes inbred in people, but not only that, I think sometimes if we doubt ourselves, if we've got a certificate to prove it to whoever the people coming in and saying, oh, she's not good enough, or you're feeling it yourself, your own doubt, self-doubt popping in.
That imposter syndrome
keeps popping up. You've got that certificate. So you can say, well, actually, here it is. I did do it. It's a reminder for yourself, I think. I don't know about you, but I don't do it for anyone else. I do it for me, you know.
Yeah.
But if someone wants to see my certificates, they are in a lovely file. So you started your pole studio just after the credit crunch, and it went really well.
Better than I could ever have imagined.
And that's fantastic. Then you went back into work, didn't you?
Yeah, in 2016, having moved to a larger studio, one that essentially closed the business down eventually because the costs were just astronomical. I'd gone from small outgoings, having a really cute little studio. I say little, it wasn't little, but it was very cute. Out in the sticks, I moved into Clitheroe Road because I thought, I've got to grow. What I hadn't contemplated was actually I was in a really sweet spot and I should potentially have stayed.
So your first flurry into self-employment was great. You moved to bigger premises and that's where it all went a little bit wrong. That was 2016. Now that's interesting for other people because sometimes you want to grow, but that growth can sometimes be your downfall, I guess. You then took a job. Skipton Building Society, I believe.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. So sadly, and actually it's funny because I heard someone talk about this before. I don't know if you've heard of the Pro Blow group. They also had that experience where they grew too fast. So it is quite a common thing. So if anybody's listening with the intent of starting a business, remember that slow growth, well, anything slow is definitely much more maintainable is what I would say. I got to the point where unless I split myself into about five, I wouldn't have been able to carry on anymore. I would have had to literally work 24/7, 365. So yeah, I made the decision and it still to this day feels like a bereavement or a divorce. Having closed that studio, I still miss it. I miss the people that I spent most of my time with because I was open 6 days a week and I loved them. Some of them are very dear friends to this day and I kind of consider them my fairy godmothers because they're always people I can go to talk to for business advice. But I made that decision to go back to employee life. If anybody's ever considering doing that, it is very difficult to go from being self-employed to being employed because as a self-employed person, you're always going to find the most lean way of working. I use inverted commas when I say that because you will always be compliant, you will always do the right thing, but you're not going to add those 10 steps that potentially in corporate get added for absolutely no reason. They just do red tape. So yeah, took a completely different direction and went to work in financial services at Skipton Building Society. So I learned a lot about myself. I learned that actually, yes, I was still capable of corporate way of working. And it gave me a bit of a boost, which I really enjoyed, but opened up the opportunity to move into what was known as the IRM team or BDM team. So I was selling Gibson mortgages to brokers, which opened up the world of mortgage broking. Part of that role, I had to do the qualifications. We want you to lead by example. You know what you're talking about when it comes to being a broker. So I took on that role as a trainee BDM. started self-studying. Wasn't a great experience having been there. Unfortunately, there was a lot of bullying in the middle sort of management area, and I decided to walk away from that role. Related. By this point, I'd self-studied, I'd got my qualifications, and I was ready to hit the big bad world of broking. I still felt quite downtrodden by what had happened, so I made a couple of wrong choices when it came to employment. And unfortunately, I had to make a few moves during that first sort of couple of years, and then hit the pandemic that we all know so much about, which then after 7 weeks in lockdown led me to be completely unemployed. I was also still working two other jobs whilst being a broker, because it doesn't pay too well at the beginning, especially in an employed role. But I'd lost those two jobs as well. I was also teaching bar work. So I'm not one that's never, you know, I'm not shy of work, put it that way.
I think it's pretty evident that you're not shy of work. how cruel that all three of your jobs were lost during the pandemic. You know, you're not work shy. All of those were hit, but nothing keeps Serena down for long. And up pops mid-pandemic two new businesses for yourself that we talked about at the beginning, mortgages and sports massage. So were you concerned? Were you worried?
Concerned is an understatement. I feel like I've known stress before, but nothing compared to this. I'd bought my house when I was 25, so approaching the pandemic, I was thinking, oh my gosh, not only was I thinking about my own, but my mum has leukemia. So at the beginning of that, I was sat in the office where I worked. Literally, me was at the back of my mind, if you will. It wasn't till we got 7 weeks in, I was given 1 week's notice because I'd been at the company for less than 2 years. So I had no rights when it came to that. But I did have the right to be furloughed. That company decided not to do that, which really hurt. The conversation when they gave me that notice was that I was really employable, that I hadn't done anything wrong, I didn't need to take it personally. Ultimately, that wasn't something I could turn around to my lender and say, Mr. Leeds Building Society, my boss thinks I'm really employable. Does that count to pay my bills this month? And I know that, we've always discussed universal credit, never had to be on it. It was actually something that was being created when I worked at DWP. To finally be on it myself and to have to live off that amount of money was eye-watering. It was something I could not even explain to anybody. My car and my mortgage were more than what that payment was. It was just unbelievable. So my parents were having to help me where they could, but they're retired. They've not got any surplus to speak of. So I started in the May, the mortgages with Serena, and quickly realised how slowly paid my industry was. that's why mortgage brokers charge a fee, because we don't get paid until about a month after completion. When you're trying to get the keys to your house, they will budge because they ultimately want to get paid for the work that they have done. Having taught the fitness side of things, I'd always wanted to do sports massage. So in the November of 2020, I retrained. I gained my sports massage qualification. I was renting a room at the time, which was fantastic. Great start for me, which I'm really, really grateful of. Unfortunately, though, it just meant I wasn't taking nearly anywhere enough to cover what it was taking out of my time. You know, learning my worth, I think, has been the biggest part of all of this journey. And so I had an office built. I got a loan. I decided it was going to be the right thing for me. And I work from my garden office doing sports massage and mortgages. So it was, again, taking a hit personally. Long-term growth, both businesses have literally snowballed to the point where last week I actually made the decision that, having never worked Monday to Friday in my entire working life, that from August, that's what I'm going to be doing. So I had a holiday, took some time to breathe, sat with my thoughts and took some deep breaths about what I was going to do going forwards. So to stop what happened last time, that growth going too far, I made a decision that I'm going to enjoy 2 days off back to back.
You've made some incredible decisions along the way, starting two businesses, mid-pandemic, both thriving. I do know that in recessions, etc., research has shown actually in the past that those who grow in a recession or build or appear to grow always do well and stay there. And I think having that, I guess the balls really, to go and do it.
And
stick with it. And then even having that, because you've had past experience, decision to say, do you know what? I'm taking my weekends back. I deserve this. I'm working hard all week. You're happy to work hard all week.
Yeah.
But it gives you those weekends back. Both businesses are doing really well. And you're across social media and there's huge engagement with your social media. Would you in fact advise anyone that is starting up to get on social media and be training in that? Because that's where the audiences are, isn't it?
100%. So I can credit my growth to social media. And honestly, I don't want to sound cocky when I say this, but I mentioned this earlier on in the year on my social media, and I had quite a few messages saying it's not social media, to enrich yourself. I haven't really done much training when it comes to social media. I've just kind of had a go, as it were. I've had two different points in time, a couple of different social media managers who sort of learned what was, inverted commas, cool.
Yeah.
And have taught me that. And currently I do actually employ someone to do my social media, in the sense of they look after my grid, they look after my engagement, because that in itself is a full-time job. And when I was quieter, I had the time to do it, and I just simply don't anymore. And you're not going to grow unless you've got that engagement side of things going. Now, ultimately, it's not about the number of followers you've got. It's about the number of clients you've got. My sports massage page has a small number of followers, and I consistently have around about 60 massage clients a month. So it's definitely not about the numbers. It's about doing a good job. Word of mouth, it will always be the biggest one, word of mouth. I get clients referred to me all the time because of word of mouth. I did notice that Google made a huge difference when I started getting Google reviews rather than industry-specific reviews. So that's really helped. So I would recommend Google from my own experience. Social media, just being open and honest. I get the most feedback when I talk about my own journey, whether that be the fact that I wanted to become a mom on my own, that might be my own experience with debt. If I talk openly and honestly, that's what people want. They love it because I'm not pretending to be something I'm not. It means that the potential clients that might come to me for mortgages aren't thinking, oh my God, I have to come to this office dressed in a suit. Most of my email inquiries for mortgages come through saying, I've been following you for a while. I absolutely love your style. You've really taught me loads through your stories, and I can't wait to work with you.
You're building trust along the way. You're open and honest. And what more can people want? Yeah. Also, I think I say it all the time, people buy from people. Just do you. So at the end of this interview, if I said to you, give me a golden nugget, one thing that you do that you can attribute to everything you do, what would that be?
100% trust your gut.
I agree. Well, thank you, Serena. That's been a great interview. Really interesting. From pole dancing to sports massage to mortgages, what more could we want to listen to today? Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I'll see you next time. VoiceItPR.com.